All right, if we take our Bibles tonight and turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to pick up in verse 12. So Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Let's pray. Father in heaven, as we look into your word tonight, I pray, Father, as always, that you would speak to each heart here personally. I pray, Father, that you would again give me the very words to preach tonight. I pray, Father, that we'd be drawn closer to you, our faith would increase, that you would be lifted up and glorified in all things. I pray, Father, that we would be not just hearers of the word, but we'd be doers of the word. And as we look at these things that you have for us tonight, I pray, Father, that we would agree with your word, that we would change our mind and our attitudes if they don't line up with your word, because we know your word is truth. So we thank you for what you're going to accomplish tonight. Looking forward to it now, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So in these Ephesians, and we started this verse last week, and so we're finishing this one up this week, and then we'll move on. But when these Ephesian Christians were dabbling in the occult, when they repented of that, there was a great revival in that place. When we repent of our sin and get right with God, there should be a revival. There should be something that happens because of that. And so many times people think, well, there's nothing wrong with what I'm doing. Does it line up with the Word of God? If it doesn't, then there's something wrong with what you're doing. We have to always go back to, "Thus saith the Lord," and make sure it's definitely, "Thus saith the Lord." As I've said many times, there's preachers all over the world that stand in pulpits and say, "Thus saith the Lord," and it's not in the Bible. And it drives me crazy. If you're going to say it, it better be in there. And I'm talking about the King James Version for the English-speaking people. I don't want any of the perversions that are out there. I want the real Word of God that God has preserved through all these ages, and we need to have the truth. And again, as I've pointed out to several people as they want to argue with me the fact, I said things that are different cannot be the same. Well, yes, it's the same. No, it isn't. If it's different, it cannot be the same. And so therefore, they need to know that. No Christian can ever, I can't make that plain enough, can never ever justify participation in demonic activities. There is no justification for it. We should have nothing to do with it. And yet, I've had people say, "Well, you should read your horoscope, and you should have your palm read, and you should," and I'm like, "I thought you were a born-again believer in Jesus Christ. What do I need all that stuff for? Because I don't need it." God's people should not need it, and we cannot justify it. Years ago, working for a corporation, and most of you know I had a 30-year career in real estate, so it's a long time ago, and they would, every morning, the first thing they'd do at break is they'd go into the break room and they'd come out and start talking about their horoscopes. And I remember one gal, she said, "Well, my horoscope says I'm going to have a good day." I said, "I have no idea what that garbage says, but I'm planning on having a good day anyway." It doesn't focus on what that stuff says. It's demonic. We don't need to be participating in that stuff. Look at Exodus chapter 7, please. We're going to look at verse 11 of Exodus chapter 7. Exodus 7, verse 11. Then Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers, now the magicians of Egypt. They also did in like manner with their enchantments. And then we can look at Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 4. Where it says, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Obviously, the Lord Jesus Christ is what we need to be focusing, not on these sorcerers and magicians and these so-called wise men and stuff. We need to focus on what the Word of God says, following the Lord Jesus Christ. The word wrestle here, used of hand-to-hand combat, emphasizes the personal and individual nature of spiritual warfare waged against each local church and Christian. We're in a battle, and it's raging out there. And the only way we can defend ourselves is if we put on the whole armor of God. We need to be ready and prepared. We go out the door, and this is why I'm so adamant about starting the day with the Lord. Get into the Word of God and start your day with God. Spend some time in prayer before you go out into the world, because it's a battle. When we start our day, we just go out and throw ourselves into the world. We're susceptible to all kinds of stuff. We need that time with God in the morning before we start. And I probably mentioned this before, but even when I'm up early, and we're going to be heading to Texas again for the conference down there, early part of December, and I'm going to be getting up early in the morning, but I'm going to spend time in the Word of God before we go to the airport. It's going to be an early morning flight, but I'm still going to spend time before we go. People go, what do? You just get up earlier. And for many years, I have to get up at 2 o'clock in the morning, and I say, should I go to bed at 11 and get up at 2, or should I just stay up and try to sleep on the plane, which never happens? But you can't negate the time you need to spend in the Word with God, because we need to be understanding that this is a battle, a spiritual battle out there, and we've got to be prepared. And every day, Satan's trying to tear us down. This hand-to-hand combat, something we're involved in every single day. Then flesh and blood refer to humanity. Such is not the church adversary. Instead, she opposed principalities, rulers, the powers, authorities, rulers, world rulers, spiritual wickedness, wicked spiritual beings. That is, all the fallen angels, demons, and old Lucifer himself. Satan's got his demons that he's got employed with him, doing his business. And we think, well, how can the devil be involved with all? He's got demons that help him. You've got the lost people out there that are following their father, the devil. So I mentioned this morning, they're blinded to the truth. Until they get the gospel of Jesus Christ and that light makes a difference in their life, they're going to be blinded to the truth, and they're going to be following after Satan. They're going to be about his business. And so we have people all over. So we need to be careful. One thing that we must do to fight against our enemy is to try and to learn who he is and what are his tactics. Satan hasn't changed his tactics. They're the same ones. He's used them all along. Tries to get us to doubt the Word of God. Tries to make us believe that sin isn't sinful. as I've said many times, if Satan was what the world depicts him to be, this red dress thing with the ears and pitchfork and the long tail and all, we'd say, oh, that's the devil. I don't want to listen to him. But that's not how Satan appears to us. He tries to make things look good, look appealing. We have to understand he's a liar. He can't tell the truth because the truth is not in him. So he lies to us. So we need to know what he's doing. Getting to know what his tactics are and all is what this verse is all about. The enemy that you cannot see with your physical eye is the most dangerous because you do not know when he is on the attack or just which way he's coming from. It's hard to know. So we have to understand who he is and what he does. It's a spiritual battle. That's what this speaks of, a spiritual battle. The devil, old Lucifer himself, and his angels, demons or devil spirits, are the enemy. His tactics are to tempt the flesh of man because the flesh of man is earthly. We get up every day. What did Paul say? I die daily. He was talking about dying to self, this flesh, so that he could live for Christ. We need to die to self daily. I said this morning, we are not our own. As a child of God, we belong to him. He's paid for us. If you're not a child of God, see me after service. We need to talk. But if you are a child of God, you need to understand that this is a spiritual battle, and every single day it's going to be a battle, it's going to be a battle, it's going to be a battle. If you tell me it's not a battle, I'm going to wonder, are you doing anything for God? Because if you don't see it as a battle, if you're not struggling out there in the world in this battle, then there's a problem. Means you're doing absolutely nothing for God or you're lost. All it can be. Because if you're doing anything at all for God, Satan is going to oppose it. Because Satan doesn't want God to get any more people saved. And the ones that are, he wants to ruin their testimony, that they'll have no effect in this world whatsoever. He's battling us on a regular basis. And these are real battles. This isn't fake. This isn't make-believe. These are real battles. Years ago, I had a pastor friend of mine tell me, he says, every time you preach the gospel, you're going to be totally worn out. I thought, that can't be true. Why would you be totally worn? He says, because you're in a spiritual battle. Because as you're preaching the word of God, Satan is trying to trip you up. It's a spiritual battle. I said, wow. I have to tell you, every Monday, I'm just exhausted. And you know the only thing I've done on Sunday is I've come to church, I've presented the gospel, I've gone home in the afternoon, had something to eat, stop by and seen Dad, and come back to church. I've done nothing which could be considered any physical labor whatsoever. But I'm exhausted. It's a spiritual battle, folks. We're fighting against the devil. The Father has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. Look at Colossians chapter 1, verses 11 through 13. Colossians chapter 1, starting verse 11, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, and all patience and long suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. It's all about what God's done. I've said so many times, we rely totally on God for salvation. We rely totally on him for the security of the believer. And yet, we get out there in this spiritual battle and we think we're going to fight it on our own. We need the whole armor of God. We can't do it on our own. No Christian is any longer in Satan's domain, and every Christian has the resources of God's own Holy Spirit within him to free himself from any demonic entanglement, no matter how severe. Where sin is confessed and put away, Satan and his demons are expelled. I've said over and over and over, if we walk with God, his word tells us, draw nigh to me, I'll draw nigh unto you, and Satan will flee. That's what we need to be doing. But so many times I've said, we don't want to walk as close to God as possible. We want to be on that fence. We want to be walking that tightrope line right next to sin. And then we wonder why it's so easy for us to ignore God and follow Satan into sin. Because we're too close to it. We're dabbling in it. When we need to be walking closer to God. As we walk with God, he'll give us, as he says in his word, with every temptation, he'll give us an escape. We don't have to give in to temptation. I liked when Jesus was tempted and he just quoted the word. The word of God to Satan. Over and over, that's what he used. If it worked for Jesus, it'll work for us. But we're not going to be able to quote something we don't know. We are to put on God's armor and report to him perfectly confident in the knowledge that, look at 1 John 4:4. We have to be confident in the knowledge that verse 4 of 1 John chapter 4 says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We have the Holy Spirit of God. As a child of God, you have the Holy Spirit of God with you, indwelling in you. We can rely on him. The very gates of hell shall now not overpower Christ's church. Matthew 16:18. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18 says, and I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We keep looking at things that are going on in the world, and church after church after church is closing its doors, and it looks like Satan's winning this thing. But God's word says, point blank, that the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Too many times I think people are just throwing in the towel. They're giving up way too easy. Things are going to get tough. They're going to get even tougher. The Bible says it. I tell people, you don't think it's going to happen? Read the Word of God. Things are going to wax worse and worse. And we think, it just can't get any worse than this. Really? God says it's going to wax worse and worse. We aren't to the worst of it all. This is a battle, and if God's people are giving up, throwing in the towel, then yeah, it's going to look like Satan's winning. But I've read the book. I read the end. We win. Praise the Lord. So why are so many throwing in the towel and giving up? Well, for one thing, God, who knows everything, I brought out this morning, He knows everything, told us it would happen. In the last days, there will be a falling away. He's not talking about lost people falling away from something they never had. He's talking about saved people falling away from the truth. So we know it's going to happen because He cannot lie. So when He tells us it's going to happen, it's going to happen. And we wonder why people are falling away. Because they're not prepared for the spiritual battle. It's a spiritual battle. We have to put on the whole armor of God. We have to be ready. Nowhere in the Word of God does it say, you become a Christian and your life becomes rosy. It doesn't say it in there. Now, trust me, you'll be able to find preachers out there that'll tell you that garbage, but it's not in the Bible anywhere. It's going to be a battle. Jesus, in fact, said, they hated me, they're going to hate you too. And we go, but I want everybody to like me. So we clam up and we don't talk about the Lord Jesus Christ because they hated Him and we don't want them to hate us, so we don't want to talk about something that'll make them hate us. And then Satan's gotten that victory, right? Because we're supposed to be ambassadors for Him. We're supposed to go into the world and tell people about Jesus Christ. But we're not going to be able to do it if we don't have the whole armor of God, because we're going to be so knocked down in this spiritual battle that we don't have any energy to do anything. So we need to put on your armor before facing the enemy. Put on the armor before facing the enemy. Not after you're already in the battle. It's too late. Ephesians 6:11 says, put on the whole armor of God. Notice He didn't say put on part of the armor. He said put on the whole armor of God. Because we need every last bit of it. Then look at Ephesians 6, verse 13. It says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. When He says, wherefore, it means because of this. Because of this. That is, because we face such a formidable foe, we must avail ourselves to God's provision, lest the enemy destroy our Christian witness and ministry. We got to be careful, folks. Because that's what Satan wants to do, destroy our ministry, destroy our testimony. Now, I can tell you over and over and over, when I talk to people and they tell me about my neighbor is this great Christian, he goes to church every single service and all, and he's cheating on his wife. I'm like, oh, I get so tired of hearing that stuff. Quit telling people you're a great Christian if you're dabbling in sin. They don't want to hear it. And trust me, the Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out. You're not going to hide it. We face this formidable foe. We must be ready. So He says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. Paul again is emphasizing the necessity. This isn't something we can, well, maybe I'll do it. There's a necessity to this. We have to appropriate God's full spiritual armor. But you know what? God is so gracious, He's given us free will. It's our choice if we put it on or not. We have to choose to put it on. God doesn't force us to do it. He says, put on the whole armor of God, because that's what we need to be able to fight this spiritual battle, but He does not make us put it on. We have to choose to put it on. We do that by obedience. Obedience to His Word. We take it up and we put it on. It's possible to live the Christian life in lethargy, indifference, and imperfect satisfaction with the way things are, and still spend eternity with the Lord, because He has eternally secured the salvation of every believer. You can go through this, what I call them is Christians who are asleep at the wheel. Right? I mean, they say they know the Lord and all, but they aren't doing anything at all. They're asleep at the wheel. Allowing everything just to happen around them, not involved in anything. And let me just say this. The state of the United States of America is because Christians did not take a stand for what was right. We want to blame the politicians. We want to blame everybody else. It's our fault that we're in this mess, because we allowed it to happen. We sat on the sidelines and did nothing and let it happen. We need to be putting on the whole armor of God and doing something about the state of affairs. Look at John chapter 10. Verses 28 and 29. John chapter 10, verse 28 says, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. For my Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." We will have eternal security regardless of what we choose to do. Whether we put on this whole armor of God or not, if you're a child of God, once saved, always saved, you are on your way to heaven. There's nothing you can do to prevent that. Not that you should want to, but there's nothing you can do. Eternal security is eternal security. Eternal life is eternal life. I mean, it goes on forever. There's nothing you can do. But you can sit on the sidelines and do absolutely nothing for God and still go to heaven. Now, let me just throw this little caveat in there. The Bible talks about rewards. We can earn rewards when we get to heaven. By the way, we're going to cast them at His feet, but we can earn some. If we choose to do absolutely nothing, there will be no rewards for that. You still get to go to heaven, right? Because, well, that's reward enough. Well, don't you want to have anything to give Him back? We cannot lose the ultimate war because we belong to the Lord and the battle is His. But we disregard obedience to Him at great cost. We bring our Heavenly Father and ourselves grief instead of joy. There'd be lots of grief if you sit around and do nothing. We leave lost souls in darkness and damnation instead of bringing them to the light of salvation. And we see our work burned up with a fire like so much hay as we forfeit the reward that faithful service would bring. I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to meeting my Savior, and I want to hear so desperately, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I don't want to hear lazy and slothful. It's not what I want to hear. But I'm afraid that's what we'll hear if we're not interested in getting involved in the battle. The first three pieces of armor, the girdle, breastplate, and shoes, or boots, verses 14 through 15, were worn continually on the battlefield. The last three, shield, helmet, and sword, verses 16 through 17, were kept ready for use when actual fighting began. He says, having done all to stand, standing firm against the enemy without wavering or falling will be the goal. Don't let Satan get even a foothold in your life. Because Satan will try and get just a little piece. But he's not going to be content with that till he gets all of it. Then the evil day. This refers to the periodic demonic onslaughts and satanic assaults. Having done all, this includes both dressing oneself in God's armor and resisting Satan. Having done all these, be ready, for the devil will attack again and again and again. Satan's not going to give up. You know, I've said many times, if he just read the Word of God, he knows he loses. I believe he already knows he loses. He's tried over and over and over to win against the Lord Jesus Christ, and it hasn't happened. He did everything he could to get him on that cross, and then when he realized what was happening, he did everything he could to get him back off of it. I think he knows he's done. He's just not willing to admit it yet. He's going to do everything he can. Since the fall of man, every day has been evil, a condition that will persist until the Lord returns and establishes his own righteous kingdom on earth. The evil day is probably many different days. The battle sometimes stops for a day or two, but it starts up again when you least expect it. Our job is to be ready to stand. No matter what, be ready to stand. The soldier's job is to stand and remain standing regardless of what the enemy sends your way. Our strength in this battle must come from within. Christ is in us. He gives us the strength to stand firm in the battle. I've said many times, we can't do anything on our own, but we can do anything through Christ. It says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. If we rely on His strength, we could be a force. But we tend to rely on our own strength. And then we fall flat on our face. But even the most willing and eager soldier of Christ is helpless without God's provision. We have His provision in being His children, in having His Word, in possessing His indwelling Holy Spirit, of having every resource of our Heavenly Father. God is our strength, but His strength is appropriated only through obedience. His mighty armor must be put on and taken up. Some believers have done everything well in the Lord's work, but they do not continue to stand firm. The issue is not in what a believer has done, but when the battle is over and the smoke clears, whether he is found standing true to the Savior. This whole armor of God consists of six pieces: the girdle, which is the belt of truth; sound doctrine is the foundation. And we're out of time, so we're going to stop there for tonight, and we'll